Now, many times we've viewed Padre Pio's life from the outside, so to speak. We've seen things like external miracles and all the effects of his spirituality. But we've also got to ask sometimes, what was Padre Pio's spirituality? What was his life like from the inside? What was his spirituality that compelled him onwards? What were his aspirations? We're going to try and get a glimpse into this. And of course, we have to ask part of this, where did his great devotion to Our Lady fit in? Where did it come from? Where did it fit in? Hello, friends, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our channel, Following Padre Pio, where through a series of short stories, we investigate the life of our great saint, Padre Pio. Of course, he was a Capuchin friar. He was a mystic and a tremendous miracle worker. So do stay tuned to our channel to find out more about Padre Pio and also to see what his intercession can do for you. We also wish to thank our protected child of Padre Pio patrons for your tremendous support of these years, and you are the ones who make these videos possible. And we ask everyone else to help us in this Padre Pio apostolate. You can do this by liking our video, by sharing the video with others. You'll really be helping us if you do this. The story comes from the book Padre Pio of Pietrelcina, the first congress in the studies of Padre Pio's spirituality. And this particular story, the contributor is a Father Bernardino of Siena, and he was the postulator general of the Order of Capuchins. So he's telling us the story. But first, there may be an objection. Why are we even trying to head into this idea of explaining Padre Pio and Our Lady? Doesn't it lend itself to criticism? The Catholics worship Mary, will be accused. Of course, every sincere Catholic knows that if they just scratch the surface a little bit, that we worship God alone. We do not worship anyone else. And we have honors for other people. It's a matter of Christian charity. You honor someone else. So we honor the saints. We honor Our Lady as well. So let's see what we actually do believe now. And we're going to have a look at now what Father Bernardino tells us. He's the postulator general, pretty high up position in the Capuchin order, and he builds a groundwork from the foundations upwards. So first, he wants us to understand the concept of church before getting on to the other concepts of where Our Lady fits in. We have to have this framework. What is the church? So let's try and flesh this out a little bit. Now, according to Father Bernardino, this all hinges around having a personal encounter with Christ. Those are his words, a personal encounter with Christ. So it's a bit ambiguous. Is this something good or bad, personal encounter? Perhaps it's just mushy feelings that kind of fade away after a while. Or perhaps a personal encounter is like something the prodigal son had, a complete change, a radical change of heart. We enter into a state of grace with our Lord. So that is the divine plan, that there has to be this personal encounter with Christ for each person, a conversion within the heart of each person. And for this divine plan to be carried forward, to be transmitted, it needs to go over generation after generation. It can't just die out at any point. But we know that Christ lived in a certain period in history. He lived, and of course, during that time, he influenced a few thousand people with this divine plan. But he lived a short period of time, and then after that, he died. So now what was going to happen with this divine plan? Well, he had to have another way of doing this, because we know this divine plan has to continue, as we said, over time. It applies for all men, all generations, but he's now dead. So we have a problem. And so how can we have this encounter with Christ, this conversion in our hearts? How can it continue? And for this, Christ somehow needs to live again in another body, like a mystical body. So we're getting at the idea of what the church is. And only if Christ has this another life, so to speak, prolonged in time, throughout time, never ending, then this new life or this lengthening of Christ's life, this is the concept of the church that he gives us. Hence, there has to be a very intimate union between Christ and his church. And it is so intimate, this union, that Scripture refers to it, gives these titles, a mystical body, or refers to the church as his immaculate bride. He's going to take special care of his bride, isn't he? And then as the bride of Christ, she is also the mother of the redeemed. So somehow there's a very maternal aspect to this. But is that Our Lady, the maternal aspect of the church? Is that Our Lady? There are similarities. And Father Bernardino also tells us, the same spirit which animated our Lord Christ, leading him to carry out each of his acts in this divine plan, the same spirit is now within this church, this mystical body of our Lord, the bride of Christ. And so he says that people must be gathered in unity under the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So these are essential things. And of course, all men are called to enter into this church, into this body of Christ. And he tells us also that it has a structure. So this mystical body does have a structure. There are people in preeminent positions in the church. For instance, the Pope and bishops and the priests. And the Holy Spirit calls all of them to rule and to teach and to sanctify the people of God. So that's their mission within the church. Their mission is certainly not to molest or mislead people. Father Bernardino continues in his whole explanation of what the church is. He says there is this intimate union between Christ and these people, the hierarchy, the people leading the church. So this is Christ speaking to the apostles and thereby to the rest of the hierarchy throughout time. As the Father sent me, so I send you. So he's intimately linked. And Christ identifies with them as well. The problems they go through, he goes through. He who listens to you listens to me, Christ says. And he who scorns you scorns me. And we can see through the many, many examples in Padre Pio's life that he adhered to this whole concept perfectly. That he took these doctrines really to heart. So the hierarchy exists. Doesn't mean it's always good. Well, of course, Judas was one of the first bishops. And we know what happened there. And he tells us as well, each person must work for the others. Everyone has to be looking after the next person. Padre Pio also had his own special role within this church. Special functions, some of them unusual. So this is taken from Padre Pio's spiritual letters. And then, for my brothers, Padre Pio says, oh, how many times must I say to God, the judge, like Moses said, either pardon this people or strike me out of the book of life. We see here Padre Pio really bargaining and pleading with God for us sinners. So he's acting as a mediator and intercessor, or maybe Christ is acting through him in this regard. And then from a different angle now, another time in these same writings, Padre Pio tells us, and I am in extreme desolation. I am alone. I am bearing the weight of everyone. So many souls who dizzily want to justify all of their sins. This afflicts me. It tortures me. It breaks my heart to pieces. And he continues, Christ wants these, he calls them victim souls. And he says, Padre Pio tells us this, the more these souls suffer, these victim souls suffer, the lighter the sufferings of good Jesus become. So is it like Simon the Cyrene, they helping Christ to carry his cross? Even though they didn't live at that time, they still have the same function. Padre Pio had that function. But where does Our Lady fit in, really? Padre Pio saw Our Blessed Mother in the light of this whole saving plan that we've just been describing. Somehow she fitted in a magnificent way. Padre Pio used these words, for instance, as a tender mother, in her great knowledge and her mercy and goodness. He says, I feel myself burning all over, but there is no fire. So it's almost an enthusiasm or a love for Christ makes him feel like he's burning all over. I feel close to Jesus and bound to him, by means of his mother. So his mother brings him to our Lord. But I don't even see the chains that bind me so tightly to him. Our Lady is like these chains binding Padre Pio to our Lord. So here we are beginning to see the role that Our Lady played in Padre Pio's life. But we're going to have to continue next time. Please do join us next time. Dear friends of following Padre Pio, wouldn't you like to be, as Scripture says, those who instruct many to justice shall be as the stars for eternity? Apparently that's from the book of Daniel. So with that intention in mind, we offer you a special program, and it's called the Protected Child of Padre Pio program. And through this, if you join this program, you will be helping our team at Following Padre Pio to reach out to many people, hopefully to inspire them so that they do not give up hope, that they do not lose faith in God in these very trying times. So if you and I can give them this hope, then our Lord Jesus Christ's death would not have been in vain for them. So that's our aim. And we also have regular masses celebrated for all of those who join the Protected Child of Padre Pio program. And of course, there are other benefits too. To find out more, just click the video on the end screen, or you can go to the link in the video description below.